Sisters and brothers in Christ, today I am beginning our sermon series on mission, which I hope and plan to make a yearly part of our church's life together. As we prepare to reflect on God's word together, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mission to come and restore all things in Christ. We thank you that through Jesus, you have also called us to share in your mission, and that Jesus sends us to go right where we are to bring the good news of hope and life and forgiveness and restoration. Lord, as we, as a church, look at your mission, please help us to have our hearts and minds open. Please open my lips to speak your word by the power of the Holy Spirit and lead us deeper into your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's a bit of an unusual place to start a mission sermon series with our messy garage and my mini that I am restoring. However, we'll get to that, so stick with me. First of all, I want to look at a very important Bible passage, and it's not a typical passage about mission. It's not where you might normally go to look at God's mission and what he is doing in the world. But that Bible passage is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 and 11 to 13. We could read the other parts as well. Now, I'm going to read this out. God has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to do the work of ministry and build up the church, the body of Christ. Except there's a problem with the way that I have read that verse, because that's not actually the way that it reads in the Bible. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work of ministry and build up the church, the body of Christ. This is actually the only time that the word pastor appears in our translation of the New Testament. Now, the word pastor comes from the Greek word for shepherd, and the word shepherd, of course, does appear in other places. Jesus talks about himself as the good shepherd, and Peter writes to the shepherds of the church. But this is the only place that the word pastor appears in the English translation of our Bible. And what is interesting about this is that a pastor's responsibility and the responsibility of the leaders of the church is not to do the work of ministry, but to equip God's people to do the work of ministry. That would be you guys, everyone sitting here, and the members of our church who worship and serve with us. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, you might find, if you're looking at your NIV, that the words are slightly different because I've used a slightly different translation. But if we turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 and just have a little bit more of a look at that verse. Thank you. Page 1175. In verse 7, it says, to each of us, grace or a gift has been given as Christ apportioned it. In other words, in the church, God has given gifts to every person. Gifts of service that help to build up the church. Down in verse 12, it says, to equip God's people for works of service. That's the role of the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, the apostles, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Who wants to be mature in their Christian faith? Sylvia, excellent. Yes, it's not a rhetorical question. I would hope that every one of us says, yes, I want to be mature in my Christian faith. I don't want to be an infant in my faith. I want to grow up. I want to be mature. I want to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The Bible says that the only way to maturity is for each of us to be using our gifts together for God's purposes. You can go to all the Bible studies you like. You can hear as many sermons as you can possibly cram onto your podcast. You can do all kinds of things, but the only way we mature is together when everyone is using their gifts. Every part needs to work together. And we can see that in the next couple of verses. Silv, can you read from verse 14 to 16, please?
It's tossed back and forth by the waves and grows and builds it up in love as each...
Okay, so the body of Christ grows as each part does its work. Not just as the pastor preaches a fantastic sermon or as the worship leader leads us in music, but as each and every part of the body of Christ does its work. And that's the way that we grow up in maturity and that the church is built up in Christ. So our church's vision is to invite and equip all people to walk with the risen Jesus. And I think that that's what Paul is talking about here too, in slightly different words. To equip people to walk with Jesus, to use their gifts, so that the whole body of Christ may be built up. And not only so that it's good for us, but also so that the people who are not here and those who don't yet know Jesus get to know him and know his love and his grace and his forgiveness and his power. So that's where I'm starting with our Mission Life series. Now, this might raise a question for all of us. What is my gift? Well, we're going to get to that and we're going to explore and expand that because everyone has different gifts and it's really important that we're not actually all the same and that we each bring something different to the body of Christ. Now, Paul's metaphor here, of course, is a body, right? A human body. It's a great metaphor. You've got to have all the parts working together. If the heart stops or the lungs stop or the pancreas stops, then the body is going to be in trouble very quickly. I want to shift the metaphor a little bit to my mini, okay, which is why I've called this Mission Life a mini series. And yes, I will be using the maximum amount of puns available to me from this, and I'm glad, I know that Gary will be very glad that I will be doing that because he loves dad jokes. That's my little mini. At the moment, it doesn't have an engine in it. This is a project of mine. It's a labor of love. It's been going for 5 long years, and it sometimes feels like it's going to keep on going forever. I love this car. I've put tons of effort and time and money and blood and sweat, literally, and tears into this car. I know everything there is to know about the faults of this car. I've found all of the rust spots. I've stripped it back to a bare shell, and I know every little bit that could potentially go wrong with it. But that doesn't mean that I love my Mini any less. In fact, the more that I invest in my Mini, in restoring it and bringing it not back to its former glory, but hopefully to something even better than it was before, the more I love this car. And in one way, that is a picture of God's love and restoration for each one of us. God loves you. He knows all your faults and failings more intimately than even you know them yourself. He knows your sin. He knows where you fall short of his plan. And yet his work is to restore you in Christ to something that is more magnificent and more beautiful, and more fun than it ever was before. The mission of God is to restore not just us, but all things in Jesus. God is at work restoring us in a labor of love. Can we turn to Acts 3, verse 21, please? I just want to focus a little bit more on this restoration work that God is doing with us and with the world. And this is his mission. Acts 3, verse 21 is on page 1093. Would someone read from verse 19, maybe, when they find it? Acts 3:19 to 21. This is the mission of God in Christ, to restore everything, every single part of broken creation, every human being that he loves so much. That is God's mission. It's a mission of restoration. If we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 19 to 21. Romans 8. Yep, it's not on the screen. It's just on your page. Romans 8, verse 19 to 21. All right, let's read from verse 18, actually. Who wants to do that? Margaret? Okay, so the whole creation is frustrated. It's not the way it's meant to be. And yet God is working to liberate the creation itself from its bondage to decay and bring it into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And how does that happen? When the children of God are revealed in verse 19. God is at work restoring all things. God is at work restoring you. This is his mission, and this is what mission is about, is to bring restoration to what is broken, both in our own lives, in our community, and in the whole cosmos. And Jesus has called us to work together with him to restore all things. And first of all, of course, he works on us. He restores us. But in order for that to happen, the church has to be doing what God wants it to do. And every part needs to work together in order to bring this good news of God's restoration and forgiveness to the creation and to people who don't know it yet. So let's have a little bit of a think, maybe, about the mini and the parts of the mini that we may need in order to have a drivable car. Here is the body shell. That's in one of its former stages when it wasn't gloriously red and white, although there's still a bit of work to do on that. What do you think are some of the other parts that this needs before I can get this car on the road and drive it as it is meant to be driven? Wheels. Wheels would be good. Yes. A motor. Yes, a motor would be good. And the front wheels actually come along with the motor in the Mini. It's you take the subframe and the engine off at the same time. So the front driving wheels and the motor right there. What else? Doors. Yes, we'll get there.
Steering wheel.
You probably haven't seen a steering wheel sitting like that on the floor of a garage very often because the car is completely in bits. What else might we need? No cup holders in a Mini, no. Brakes. Brakes, yeah, brakes. How about this? Do you recognise what this might be? This is a gear stick. You can have the engine in, but I tell you what, without the gear stick, it's not going to go in any direction that you want it to. This one is a bit harder to recognise. This is a fuel tank, people. My fuel tank, yes, your car's not going to go very far without a fuel tank. And not only that, someone said it needs more doors. It needs seats and cup holders, no. But all the interior of the car has to be in together as well before you can invite someone to sit in the car and actually drive it, before I can take it down and get it roadworthy, right? And now our Mission Life series is going to look at each of these things, and I'm going to explain a little bit more what each of them is. But before that, I just want to play a video to you about a little red Mini, okay? How about that, hey? Not just sitting there in the garage, but actually experiencing the fun of driving it. Now, you might look around and you might go, this is a small church. There's not many people. But I guarantee, with Jesus at the wheel, it might be a mini church, but it's going to be fun. The point of Jesus' restoration of us is not that we can sit, lovely as it may be, not that we can just sit in church once on Sunday and receive all the good things that God has for us and be lovely and pristine in the garage. The point is the drive, okay? And as we work together in mission, we get to go on the drive with Jesus. And I guarantee it's going to be lots of fun. This is what God is doing with us. And every part needs to work together as we join him on his mission. Jesus is going to be in the driver's seat. We're on the second page here. And it's going to be absolutely fun. In fact, joining God on his mission of restoration in the world is the most fun that you can possibly have because it's full of joy. If we remember that in the Gospels, it says that the angels literally throw a party. The angels rejoice when even one of God's lost children returns home. So for me, the mini has become a little bit of a parable of my life. It's amazing to me how often my life is parallel to what is happening on the mini at that point. It's amazing to me how often God has spoken to me through the mini. At the times where I have just been incredibly frustrated with the whole process and I've gone, is it really worth it? God has said, Nathan, you are worth it. I love you. I have to work hard with you sometimes too. At the times when I've had a major breakthrough and things have gone really well, God has reminded me that he rejoices when we have a breakthrough in our transformation, in our restoration. It's also a little bit of a parable of the church for us. So my responsibility as pastor is to equip you, God's people, for ministry so that together the church is built up. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians and let's look at Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10. This is a very well-known passage, particularly in Lutheran circles. It really speaks of the grace of God. So I'm actually going to start from, say, verse 4. I'm going to read this out. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 10. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. How cool is that? In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Lutherans love those two verses, by the way, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. That really sums up the gospel. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. It's not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But verse 10 is equally important. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The purpose of the gospel is not just getting to heaven after we die, but living as God's masterpiece now, enjoying our gifts that Jesus has given to us and joining him in the restoration of all things. The good news of the gospel is not just about heaven, it's about what God is doing in bringing his will on earth, his kingdom on earth, as it is in heaven. And we are the ones that God has chosen to do that. So over the next 5 weeks or so, we're going to look at different parts of our mission as a church. And let's actually look at what they may be. The engine and driving wheels. This is the gospel and prayer. The power of the gospel is the power of salvation. We need to have the gospel embedded deep in our hearts and to know right down in the bottom of our being the good news of Jesus. We also need to Pair that with prayer, because in prayer is where, in mission, the rubber hits the road. We can't do anything without prayer. So I'm envisaging the gospel as the engine, right? That is the driving force. That is the thing that gives power to the mission. Prayer is where the rubber hits the road in terms of the wheels. We can't actually get any traction in mission without prayer. The gear stick is evangelism. If we're going to join God in his mission, we need to be involved in actually sharing the good news. Now, I have good news about evangelism too, because often we Lutherans hear evangelism as bad news, as something that we should do, but God has good news for us in that. The steering wheel is about vision and leadership. How do we get direction? How do we know where God wants us to go? How is Jesus steering the car of the church? The fuel tank is about finances and gifting, because we need resources. And our little church is very well supported by the wider church. But we're also going to look at how can we as individuals and as a group contribute to the resources that God wants us to use in his mission. And finally, the seats is the church environment. So if someone does come to faith in Jesus, is there a place where we can put them and say, come and sit here next to Jesus, it's going to be fun, without worrying about, you know, whether they're going to fall out because there's no doors or they're not going to have a seat to sit in? That's about how we are as church together. Sure, the gospel and prayer is the engine and driving wheels. Evangelism is the gear stick to help us to actually move anywhere. Vision and leadership is the steering wheel to give us direction. Finance is the fuel tank, finances and gifts. And church environment is the interior of the car. I hope this works for you, because I'm having fun with it, but I hope everyone else will too. Do you want to be mature as a Christian? Then Ephesians says that you need to be using your gifts. Do you want our church to grow up in Christ and reach people with the good news of his restoration? Then the whole church, that is the people, has to work together. You are a vital part of our church and its mission. God has given you gifts for use in his service. And as you do that, you'll find that it's the most fun that you can possibly have this side of heaven. So I invite you to join us for the sermon series, and also, if you're not already involved with one of our Bible study groups, to join us for our four-week Bible study series. And remember that the aim is to enjoy the drive. We might never be a big church, but with Jesus in the driver's seat, it's going to be fun. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the joy that you have and that heaven shares when people are restored to God and restored to relationship. Jesus, please help us as a church to become mature and to grow up into all the fullness of yourself and all the plans that you have for us. So give us joy as we join you on mission, and help us to know your plans and purposes for us and the gifts that you have given to us to build up your body. We pray in your name. Amen.